Welcome back to Spooky Time Tea, the show where we talk about ghosts, ghouls, murders, and mysteries, and everything in between, all while enjoying a cup of tea, like a tea party, but spooky.
God damn it.
Hold on, but I want you to insert right here the last 15 minutes where we just tried to figure out what was going on with the mics, and it's just us being like, what the fuck? For some backstory, we recorded a 35 minutes into an episode when we were like, wait a minute, why is it not picking Kitty up? And then we realized that it wasn't
picking you guys up that well even.
No, it was picking up off the fucking computer, so fuck our lives, we guess. Like,
I had to be up at 5 a.m.
It's fine. We got this. We're going to speed through it.
10 p.m. All right,
okay. Speed through. Here's some info dump for you. Kitty and Chloe live together now. Chloe moved into Kitty's house. Hurrah! Everybody clap. Yay! So it's much easier to record. Also, I brought home two kittens, so that's exciting.
Yay! What are their names?
Oliver, his name is Oliver, but that's not his official name yet.
That is his official name. I named him. It's staying Oliver.
Right. There's Ollie and there's Poppet. Also, it is November 4th, 9:49 p.m. We still don't know who the fuck is going to win the election, so it's all going to be okay. We love you very much. We are professionals. We're here for you, though. If you want to email us to talk, we will talk to you.
Okay. If you want to Venmo us, slow down for a second.
We're good. We can speed through it, but not rush through it.
People need to know our panic.
Okay. Also, we did this on the last recording, but we have reached over 600 listeners now.
Yeah,
and we have to say thank you all for listening, because you guys are amazing and we would not be here today without you.
We are so excited. I think Chloe mentioned it in the last recording as well, but we had a goal that by the end of October we wanted to have a grand total of 200 listens, and we had over 500,
almost 600
by the end of October, and we're over 600 now thanks to you guys. So thank you so much. We love you.
Thank you. Also, we're gonna do a tea clink real quick, and then we're gonna talk about our stuff.
Update. I liked this tea. I'm not drinking it again, so I'm going to go.
That's fine. Also, the tea that we are drinking, we've already done this in another episode, but we're doing the Pinky Up Red Berry Cooler, the rooibos tea, loose leaf.
Today's just a dumpster fire, but it's fine.
It's fine. Sometimes, you know, we want to taste something that's fruity, and we've done it before. That's okay.
Yes.
Okay, Chloe. Chloe. Oh, also, this is going to be a new episode. We're going to be doing different topics between the three of us.
We're doing three stories an episode now.
Correct.
Change is scary but good. We love you all.
She's talking to herself mostly. All right, my sources: independent.co.uk, CNN.com, history, absolutehistory.com, CBS News. Are you okay?
I'm going to turn down the gain just a wee bit because it's picking up.
Fantastic. I also might be yelling.
You might be.
I've been talking to Karens for 5 hours.
It's okay. There we go. That's much better. Okay. I shouldn't really look that up.
Okay.
All right. Let's go ahead, Maddie.
AbsoluteHistory.com, CBSNews.com, and NationalGeographic.com. I don't read paper. Antwerp, Belgium. Yes, Antwerp. It's Antwerp, but you pronounce it Antwerp.
Antwerp.
Antwerp is the diamond capital of the world, as decided by me just now.
Perfect.
I have good reason. 85% of the world's rough diamonds pass through it annually, and more than half of the world's diamonds are traded in the gem district of Antwerp. I'm seriously considering moving there. Belgium originated French fries. They also got really great chocolates.
Sounds delicious.
The shops on the street of the city generate 12 billion pounds or $15 million in revenue annually, and the 2011 turnover for the industry was $56 billion. That being said, they're no stranger to the occasional diamond heist. On occasion, a little fun diamond heist. In 2003, a team from an Italian gang hit 123 deposit boxes, amassing a $100 million haul of gold, diamonds, and jewelry. Although all involved are now behind bars, the diamonds still have not been found.
Damn.
That's not what we're talking about today.
Okay.
Wow. Just unrelated, just a little fun fact. Little tidbit, little Ocean's 8 right there.
Love Ocean's 8!
One bank in the heart of the Antwerp gem district. I made that up. Don't actually know where it is, but I know it's in Antwerp. Is the ABN AMRO Bank, equipped with a 1 million euros high-tech security system, the equivalent of $1,174,700. ABN was considered one of the safest places for these valuable rocks. What are you doing?
I'm trying to see whether it's light activated or
heat activated. It's heat activated.
Anyway, keep going.
Ma'am, this is a Wendy's. ABN was considered the safest place for these valuable rocks. What are you doing now?
Nothing.
Okay. Hi, I'm easily distracted. You can't look at me. I'll get distracted.
Okay. Wait, we're not looking at shiny.
I was joking. It's more like shiny things.
Okay, no shiny things.
Go. That's not fun. Okay. It needed to be given the special circumstances of its location. What caused the fall of this great bank, you may ask? Guns? Bombs? George Clooney? Nope. None of that. Chocolates.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, I forgot about our chocolate bit.
I remember when they first invented chocolate. I hated it.
That episode of SpongeBob gave me night terrors.
Shrivel up little.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly that. In 2006, Carla...
Oh, no.
I thought I had made it through this. False hope. Carlos Hector Flamenbaum well-dressed.
What's his name?
Carlos Hector Flamenbaum.
If your last name is Flamenbaum, we're not making fun of you. This is a really funny situation. But also a little bit you.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding.
It's just us Americans.
We're dumb as shit. If your last name isn't White or Smith, we don't know. Um, 2006, Carlos Hector Flamenbaum, a well-dressed, seemingly successful businessman and diamond trader from Argentina, walked into the ABN AMRO Bank for the first time. Over the course of the year, he became a frequent customer, forming friendships with the staff and often bringing them gifts of chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
How does this tie in? You may be asking yourselves at home because these girls already know this story. To accommodate the unique circumstances that is the Antwerp diamond industry, mass sales, usages of gems, clients needing to store things in diamonds overnight and withdraw them the next morning, special customers at the ABN AMRO Bank were given vault access keys.
Fucking so stupid. That this is happened
so
in
dumb.
07, right?
Yeah.
Fucking stupid.
Why would you give... I don't even understand. That doesn't make any sense. But go ahead. Yeah.
Flamenbaum wriggled his way into a position in which he was given... into which he was a recipient of a vault access key. And sometime in between March 2nd and March 4th of 2007, he walked into the vault, took diamonds and other unusual gemstones, equaling approximately $28 million from 5 deposit boxes, and walked out.
Oh, God.
Did this on a weekend.
Weekend trip.
Dude, this guy got hella lucky walking out with that.
Yep, nope, they were like, hey, guys, you know what's a great idea? If we give our customers vault access and don't pay extra security on weekends.
Dumb.
We gotta save on the payroll, man. It's not like we harbor billions of dollars in diamonds. Billions.
Dude, that's so dumb.
Poor Joe is making $7.25 an hour, just standing guard, wishing he was at home eating pizza.
Well, this is in Belgium, let's be real. He was making much more than $7.25 an hour.
That's right. Sorry, we're Americans. They don't give a shit about us. The theft was discovered on the morning of March 5th, 2007. However, the police waited 1 week to make the thefts known to the public, because why would they do that?
Because
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty common that if something that big happens...
Forget your dad's a cop.
I don't like to be reminded of that fact. But it's not uncommon for when big, like, heists or big, like, if somebody with a big name has been murdered, that they keep it pretty under wraps until they know more information. But in this case, they couldn't get more information. It was very, yeah.
Here's the thing about waiting. There may or may not, and the reason I don't give out my last name on the podcast is because I don't want people finding me.
Yeah.
Which is smart.
I should make an Instagram specifically for the podcast. Yeah, I should.
Yeah.
There may or may not have been a mob hit in the town just adjacent to where I went to high school.
Damn.
And they did not, like, they still haven't found who did it. Mm-hmm. The girl was 17.
Oh, my God. Whoa. Oh, God.
Yeah. They still haven't found who did it, and a lot of people think it's because they waited a long-ass time.
Wow. Yeah, see, no, you can't wait that long. Like, no. No.
Just be open with the public. They want to help. Mm-hmm. They also did not release any information as to who put up the $2.6 million reward money. They did, however, put up a composite sketch to help try and locate the heist master Flammenbaum. The composite sketch depicted a gray-haired man in his late 50s, early 60s, approximately 6'3". Don't know how you can tell that from a piece of paper, but okay. And he wore a baseball cap. It was also noted that he spoke perfect English with an American accent. So, unusual in Europe.
Can we talk about how this man had an Argentinian passport?
I didn't want to say that last time.
The last name Flammenbaum, but he was American and spoke with a perfect American accent.
Yeah.
Excuse Look, me. Okay, hi. The world is a melting pot and no one is illegal. That is my stance.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, I know.
I'm saying
it's hella sus.
If it walks, talks, and acts like there are three children that are sitting on top of each other with a coat on, then that's what it is.
If it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's probably a T-Rex in a duck costume.
Yes!
You won't want to keep your mouth so far because it's picking up a lot.
Okay, sorry.
Chloe!
I'm going to turn your game down, man.
I'm done!
Keep talking. Talk. No, seriously, talk.
I was trying to. It was suspected that Flammenbaum used a passport that had been stolen from Israel to create his new identity. He and the diamonds have not been seen since. It might be currently or have been at the time difficult for him to sell the diamonds as he does not have the certificates of origin that prove that they are legit, legal, and did not come from war-torn countries.
Woo!
Thank you, that is my book report.
Thank you and good night. But I'm going to bring up what I brought up in the last recording of this episode. The black market exists. All right?
Yeah, it does.
I'm pretty sure everyone on the planet knows the black market exists.
The news had to report it that way. I'm just relaying the news to you.
I feel like...
The 13-year-old news to you.
Like, I feel like what we had talked about on the last recording of this is that they probably did exactly the Ocean's 8
heist. It's new jewelry now.
It has to be.
Okay, they can make college certificates that even professionals can't tell aren't real.
What?
Yeah, you can buy them like $20.
Wow.
Listen. All
right. The people that went to those schools have a hard time deciphering if those degrees are real or not. So you can make a certificate.
Wow.
Photoshop exists. Titus is great at it.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
Thank you, and that was my presentation.
Okay.
All right, Kitty, your turn.
Okay. So,
oh, Jesus.
My story is actually from one of our listeners' recommendations.
Woo!
She is actually a friend of mine from high school, and she's had a few occurrences at this school that she's at, and I'll get into that. Of some ghostly things happening.
Ooh.
So she has some ghostly encounters.
Spooky, scary.
Exactly. Scary. So I'm going to try to get an interview with her sometime this week so we can add that in and all that fun stuff. So So we are going to be talking about the Camarillo State Mental Hospital.
I don't know what that is.
Drum roll.
I have...
You're shaking the mic. Shh.
Don't tell me how to
live my life. I've never heard of it, but...
We love a good
spooky thing.
Yeah, mental hospital.
I mental hospital, at 5 mental asylum type like, thing, right?
Not sleeping so, haunted. No. Anything Chloe's not haunted, sleeping tonight.
Anything haunted or abandoned.
I have to be up in 7 hours.
I know, Miss C. I'm going to run through this really quickly.
No, no rush. I don't care. I can live off 4 hours of sleep. It's fine. Nothing's real. Time's a
basically, once the U.S. became, or, you know, took possession of a lot of, like, the Mexican lands in 1848, mm-hmm. illegally.
Very illegally.
Basically, they bought some land, or they were able to get a land grant in 1836 known as Rancho Guadalasca. Like I said, I might be butchering this. That's okay. So, anyways, in 1929, the California legislature initially appropriated $1 million for the purchase of the land that these buildings were about to be built on.
Hmm.
And they built about 1,500 acres of an 8,600 acre ranch land owned by Joseph P. Lewis and Adolfo Camarillo. So this was located in the city of Camarillo, County of Ventura, and was acquired for $415,000.
What year was this again?
This was in 1929.
Please hold.
29. There you go.
What are you doing?
She's looking up how much that is in today's monies.
Do you want me to keep talking while you look that?
Yeah,
okay.
Keep talking.
Okay, so... Oh, what is it? What is
buddy?
It?
$6,236,503.51 in 2020.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
All right. New plan. Build a time machine. Come back to 1929. Get a loan. Take the cash. Come back. They can't come after us. We don't exist.
So, anyways, they purchased this land because they wanted to construct a state hospital. They didn't specify what type of hospital, just a state hospital. But it ended up being a mental state hospital.
Sketchy.
Yeah. So, basically, they built this mental state hospital in 1936. It housed thousands of mentally ill patients. There were rumors, but they have also been digging up actual first case, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Primary source.
Primary sources of people who were... patients there.
Case files.
Case files. There we go. Of patients who had been there before and also from people who had worked there. So there was the rumor to have used different types of therapies that were, therapies in quotation.
As I hit the mic because I'm uncoordinated.
Basically, they did a lot of abusive things that they thought were helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Back
oh,
then.
Yeah. That's the MO.
Yeah,
they
and
still do terrible
it was
shit.
Very inhumane, and these were employed by psychiatric doctors and staff. So, gonna just tell you, like, when... So, the hospital ceased operations in 1997,
mm-hmm.
And then it kind of became something else, but I will get into that. So, in the 1950s and 60s, it was at the forefront of treating illnesses thought to have been incurable. When it first started... It had a small amount of patients when it first opened up, and most of the patients were strictly male. There were no females at the time during its first year of operation. However, it quickly began to grow in size, and they started to add additional buildings to, like, for instance, housing their staff because they needed 24/7 care, and also they just... It was more convenient for the staff to be living there in the quarters, you know, of mm-hmm. where they worked.
Don't sleep where you work, man. It's stressful.
Yes, it is. Also, here's a fact about this that I thought was interesting. So they became fully self-sufficient. They had a farm. They grew their own food.
A lot of mental hospitals did. Which especially
is,
back then.
Yeah, it's really crazy. So they grew their own food. They had, like, their own police department. They
what
had,
the fuck?
Yes, they had shopping plazas over mm-hmm. there. They
the
had,
fuck?
Yes, they had barbers. They had, like, it was literally its own little town, basically. And they had their own security and everything. So, like, they had, like, a little bit of everything.
You know, well executed, that would be fucking great.
Yeah.
Well executed, the yes. key term there.
So you're saying that you want to live... on a compound.
Pretty
Here's
much.
The thing. Do I have to work for corporate America still?
No.
I'm in.
Okay. Okay, so in the 1940s, this is when they started to acquire children patients. They actually ended up having their own separate buildings from the adult patients. They ranged from adolescents to high schoolers, and they actually built a high school on the grounds to, you know, still give the children education.
Leave the children alone.
I mean,
don't make me start singing. I will start singing The Wall right now.
What are you talking about?
Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
We don't need no education.
Oh, okay. I know that song.
Leave those kids alone.
So anyways, okay. Like I said,
I didn't know that was a line.
Yeah,
that's I barely know that song.
What
are you doing?
She's eating my honey. That's okay. That sounded really bad. I'm sorry.
If what anyone wanted to know, Kitty's honey comes from New Jersey. It's called Jersey Fresh. It's very good.
Everyone in the comments, I thought you were from California.
It's wildflower honey.
It's very good.
I'm done with both of you.
Anywho. So anyways, they ended up adding a high school onto the property. So, going into some historical stuff. So, in the 50s and 60s, specifically in the 50s and 60s, there was a stigma to having any sort of mental imbalance.
I would have been burned as a witch.
So, this is why a lot of the people, like, at the mental, like, they went there. And a lot of it, they kept silent about their mental illnesses because especially like family members who had
no, keep going. I'm just doing a photo shoot with the honey. It's okay.
So anyways, so like a lot of the family members would feel ashamed that they had family members that had mental illnesses, so they kind of kept it in secret, and that's why they would like send them off to
I
like
I still know people like that.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. But
mental health is important.
Around this time, also, there was a new growth in medications available for patients. So, medications such as Ritalin, Thorazine, Stelazine, different things like that. So, however, with these medications, there were some undesirable effects while taking these medications, such as suicidal tendencies or just killing themselves in general. There were also being over-medicated. That was a problem with them. The mm-hmm. staff was giving them too much medication, which was causing some really bad side effects, and yeah, it was really bad. So, now I'm going to get into some of the stuff that they did to the patients, and it's kind of really sad.
Where my really nightmares bad. Will be coming
so,
from.
Yeah. So, by the 1950s, doctors favored quite a few different types of therapies. In particular, artificial fever therapy.
The fuck?
Yes. Electroshock therapy. And then, of course, lobotomies.
Take it back.
I'm gonna go over what these are, by the way. So.
Band conversion therapy.
Hmm?
It's a band conversion therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that still exists.
I can't
I'm like
believe.
Absolutely astonished
that still exists.
It's, yeah, I don't know. So artificial fever therapy is a method of treatment by raising your body temperature up to 105 degrees.
Okay, here's the
okay.
thing.
You know, if your body goes up to 104, that...
You need to be hospitalized.
Yes, you are basically frying your brain cells. What are you doing?
Would you guys like to know a fun fact about my life?
Yes.
Yes.
When I was exactly 1 year old, my family
on
was...
On your first birthday?
Not on my first birthday, but very, very close to my first birthday. My family, me, my mom, my dad, had all gone out of town to go see my extended family. And I got a fever of a little over 105.
Ooh.
And I don't know. My mom has a valid reason why they didn't take me to the hospital, but they didn't take me to the hospital. All of my, not all of them, that's exaggerating, but a lot of my adult teeth came in hollow because of it.
What?
Yeah, so I had to get a lot of my adult teeth filled like they were cavities because they came in hollow or mostly hollow from the fever.
Oh my God. The human body is so strange.
I know, and my two front teeth, and I don't know if anyone's noticed, but I have like yellow spots on my two front teeth where it's basically where the enamel burned off from the fever. That's not technically what happened, but that's the best way I can describe
it. So now you can imagine they're doing these treatments to not only the adults, sorry, but the children.
Did you know that Victorian era medicine baths were used as a treatment? So depending on the ailment, you had hot and cold baths. Like people were cooking from the insides if their bath was too hot.
And that's one of the things that's basically happening during this time period too. They are basically frying these poor people with, like, in their brains and everything, like, it's making their, like, anything way worse.
Your daughter.
Oh, yeah, on a lighter note, the cats came out from under the couch.
Perfect.
And Poppet has spied on Nico.
Oh. Her bird.
Okay. Yeah, my bird.
It's
so.
Okay, he's just curious.
She is curious. She's curious.
Poppet's curious. It's okay.
But
that's good news. They're out from under the couch.
Yeah.
Very excited.
We needed to break the tension of the having to re-record.
I know, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
So, electroshock electroshock treatment.
Mm-hmm. The not fun one.
This was done twice a week to every patient. Patients would lie on a table while one attendant would place one attendant would place a rubber heel in the mouth to keep the patient from chewing off their tongue, two to three other staff members would hold the body down while they are being shocked. And their bodies would convulse to the point where, like, even after they're done with the treatments, their bodies would, they would pass out from the convulsions. Like, they would be, their bodies would still be in shock from it. Like, their bodies would just have, like, these aftershocks from it. It's awful.
It's like, I don't exactly know how anything medically works because I'm a dumb bitch and I didn't go to medical school, but it's like inducing seizures.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. And, you know, and like I was reading on one of the accounts that I had pulled up from my research. So they were, one of the staff members were talking about like when this would happen, they absolutely hated doing this like to the patients, but it was what the doctors were ordering. So they couldn't really go against what the doctors were ordering. But they said that the only thing that they found that was comforting during this time was that they would see other patients comforing the other patients, like, trying to, like, comforting them.
Yeah.
That was, like, the only, like, silver lining through the whole thing was that the patients were helping each other through getting through this. And it's, like, absolutely terrifying if you think about it. Like, these poor people are waiting in line. They didn't want to go through these, like, therapy sessions, but they had to. They were dragged out of their rooms to go to these sessions.
Oh my god, that's so sad.
Mental hospitals give me icky feelings because I've heard way more horror stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Than anything good that's come of it. Like, just overall more.
Yeah, it's just, it's so sad. So going to today. So today, since they seized operations in 1997,
I was a year old when they stopped running. They still did their shit until my existence.
Yep. However, some of the therapies kind of stopped before then, before the actual, like,
a fuck. Some of those doctors were still there.
But, yes. So today, now, it is the home of California State University, Channel Islands. So, now we're going into the haunting stuff. So, it's very haunted because there have been over hundreds of deaths, from this hospital because, obviously, all the different abusive treatments that they've done to these patients, you know, eventually some of people's, like, their bodies couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people ended up dying. So now that this has been built on the grounds of this, like, you know, hospital, many
You gotta get closer to your mic.
Many students have claimed to experience paranormal phenomenon. So, this one's creepy. Okay, so because I had mentioned children have been patients, right? There were children patients. children's voices can actually be heard around the children's center. And so now there's a bell tower. There's an iconic bell tower, and that has been left there. That was part of the old hospital, and it's still there. So there's been a few different things. So, like, by the bell tower, an old woman is often seen asking for directions to the chapel, because there was a chapel on the grounds. And then another old woman is spotted wandering the halls, like, randomly throughout the day. It could be during the daylight, and then it could be at nighttime. So it's been kind of, like, there's been different occurrences. So, like, people have said they've seen her during daylight, you know, and then at night. So this one is really bizarre. And they think that this one is one of, obviously, one of the patients, most likely. But they said, and this was very specific of where it was, in parking lot A unique phantom might have been a former patient. The man in white. We all know a story about a woman in white. Mm-hmm. This one's a man in white. Is seen spinning around and around a street lamp. Like, whirling.
Huh.
That's crazy. Yeah, if you approach...
I'm uncomfy.
So, they say, like, if you approach this whirling figure, he abruptly vanishes.
Nope.
Like, you just try to approach him to, like, try to talk to him or something.
I will not. You cannot make me.
This one I thought was...
You are not my real dad.
So this next account, I thought it was funny. I kind of told you guys this at work. So there is a ghost of a man who appears in the stalls of one of the women's restrooms. You can see his legs, but then only to disappear when you actually open the door to see, like, who the hell is in there? Like, there is a man in there. You're going to be kind of be like, hey, get out of here. You know, like, this is a woman's restroom. Get the fuck out of here. Right.
I have anxiety. There. I can't say anything. It's like, sorry, sir. Proceed.
But he's not there. So yeah, there's that. So, okay. That was basically all the haunting stuff that I have. My friend may have more. I know that there were there was other stuff. I just forgot to write these down, but there were other accounts of, like, basically people in the theater areas. People, like, would leave tools somewhere, and then they would go back to find these objects, and they would be completely somewhere else, and no one else had touched them. So, like, random, like, poltergeist-type activity basically was happening.
So this is a college now?
Yes, this is a college now. That was built on, and a lot of the buildings that were part of the mental hospital are still standing today, and they use them for, like, classrooms and different things like that.
Has anyone at that school ever seen a single minute of a horror movie?
Probably, yes. I am almost.
And they 100%. Still decided this was a good idea?
Don't know what to tell you.
This was a man's idea.
It was, actually. I think it was the mayor's idea that, like, wanted. Yeah.
Take away his rights. So, I'm on one tonight.
So you are. Okay, so.
I was talking about Trisha Paytas earlier. It was a whole thing. This is going to be edited out. Like, take away her rights.
So, there were a lot of, like, this is, like, this place has been so famous that it's been in a lot of pop culture stuff. Mm-hmm. If you guys know the Eagles song Hotel California, it is actually based off of this.
What the
You told
fuck?
Me this, and I was like, what? Because that's, like, my favorite song.
Mine, too. I had no idea because originally I thought it was about drugs. It is not. It is about...
I thought it was about corruption and greed. Okay.
No.
I think it's about whatever
I guess anyone can interpret it
however... Art is up to the eye of the interpreter.
Exactly. I think anyone can interpret it however they want, but...
That being said, One Direction's Diana is about the fans.
So there's a couple other things. So the song Camarillo by punk outfit Fear also refers to this hospital. The band Ambrosia also released a song called Ready for Camarillo on their 1978 Life Beyond L.A. album. And it's been, like, some of the famous people who suffered from mental illnesses, like tuberculosis or detoxing from drugs and stuff like that, stayed there to recover. They actually stayed at the hospital before that was closed. To basically detox and recover and whatnot. And it says jazz musician Charlie Parker Relaxanet Camarillo was written there while he was actually there detoxifying as a heroin addict.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's got some pretty famous footing on, like, the grounds there in general before it was turned into university.
That's awesome.
That's really interesting.
Very interesting. I mean, not awesome in a way of, like,
no.
It was a mental hospital that did terrible, terrible things to its patients, but I mean...
As they all did, and they should all burn to the ground. Yeah.
A lot of mental hospitals were just awful back then. Like, most they just thought a lot of this stuff would actually cure the illnesses. Wish it didn't.
No, absolutely not.
Anyways, is my story, and we should hopefully be getting an interview to add into this.
That'll be really cool if we can get that.
Yes. Everybody, welcome Andy to the show. You are actually the one that gave us this recommendation for the state hospital, and the reason I actually chose this one because you had an actual experience, and I figured you want to talk about this experience and tell us all the spooky details.
Oh yes, it's a really creepy place.
Ooh, tell us.
So the Camarillo State Hospital, I don't know much about the history, but now it is California State University, Channel Islands, where I attend school there. And there's a lot of old part of the hospital left there. Parts of it are still boarded up and vacant. And then there's new buildings that are brand new part of the school. And the part where I'm going to tell my story takes place in the Bell Tower, which is part of the original state hospital.
Ooh, I actually, when I was doing my research, I actually had found some people who had many encounters in the Bell Tower area. And so that's exciting. So yeah, please enlighten us.
Yes, it's very... beautiful from the outside, but once you go inside, it's very creepy. You can tell it used to be where they would keep patients, because you would see just a long hallway all the way down with lots of doors on either side, and it is older. And our classroom, where we had lecture, it was had lots of windows, but it also had like the high beam ceiling. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think there was a second story on top, but it was just a normal day. You know, I don't really expect these things to happen. But my teacher, who was lecturing at the time, she was hard of hearing. So when this happened, she didn't hear it. But there was like 30 other students in the class. And all of a sudden, we all heard this scream. And it had like this echoey quality to it, but it sounded like it was coming from the rafters, and it was just like this a woman's scream. And we all like looked at each other like quiet, and my teacher just kept talking because she didn't hear, but it was so creepy. It was like, it was so weird.
That's okay. First of all, it wasn't just you that had experienced it, but it was a bunch of other people who had experienced it. So this is like, you know that the something was wrong if like you were not the only one that heard or like heard that whole screaming. So yeah, that's creepy as shit.
It was very creepy. We all just looked at each other with big eyes but didn't say anything.
I think it's hilarious that your like teacher was just like da da da.
I thought that was so funny. Yeah.
That's creepy. Yeah.
It was just so weird. And I kept looking, like, does someone have, like, a recorder up there? Or, you know, but the ceilings are really high up, mm-hmm. you know. So it was just definitely felt paranormal. Like, it was just random and weird.
And was it during, like, the daytime or at night when this happened?
It was during the day. I think it was the morning or early afternoon.
Whoa, that's creepy. Yeah, so like when I was doing my research, I had like saw many encounters had happened in like the Bell Tower area, and like there were accounts of like seeing a an older lady asking for directions to the chapel. Have you heard about that haunting?
No.
So many accounts happened with this, and I was like, whoa.
So I've heard a lot of stories about the bathrooms in the Bell Tower.
Mm-hmm.
the bathrooms are very creepy. They're old. There's probably like 3 stalls in there. And the lights that are in there are always flickering.
Creepy.
I don't know if they just need to replace their light bulbs. Yeah, but it's just creepy to be in there for very long.
That's pretty creepy. I had talked about this on the podcast, and so I'm just going to mention this to you since you haven't heard about it. But, like, there had been accounts of a kind of a male peeper ghost appearing in the female's restroom. And, like, when you go into, like, confront this ghost and go into the stall, because he's, like, you can see his feet in the stall. And when you go to open the door, he vanishes. Like, there's nobody there when you open the stall door. So it's just like,
I'm so glad that I never had that happen.
You'd probably be like, what the heck? What is going on? Excuse me, sir. You are not allowed in this stall. What are you doing in the bathroom? What are you in the women's bathroom for?
I would probably just run out of there.
I'd be like, peace. See ya.
That campus is very creepy. Especially at night. I would not. Luckily, I never had night classes there, but it's creepy in the day, so I can only imagine at night it's when I've heard a lot of things happen.
Ooh, can you tell us, like, maybe some of the accounts that you've heard? Because, like, I would like to hear it from, like, you know, someone that has, like, a closer connection to this, like, the source.
I haven't heard anything from, like, actual people who were the witness, but I remember they would say that at night they would see things, you know, like white floaty things, possibly, but I remember. And I think they would hear like voices, but I know like the buildings that are still all boarded up, some of them have like these stairs that lead down, and then there's a door. It's really creepy. Like, you just get this feeling, like shuddery feeling,
like you can feel like there's something there. Yeah. Right, like you could feel a presence or something.
Yes. And I remember my grandma saying, I believe that she used to work at the state mental hospital there.
Really?
Because she used to work with like the mentally ill. I believe it was this one, because I remember I was pretty surprised that it was that one. But she said there was a lot of mistreatment of the patients, and it was, you know, very hard to witness that. So I just know from the research that I did, that a lot of patients were mistreated there, and there was a lot of bad stuff going on there. So I can imagine there's a lot of tortured souls.
Oh, yes. And I actually touched base on that when I, like, doing my research and stuff. Like, there was a lot of abuse, like, a lot. Especially with, like, the types of quote-unquote treatments that they use, you know, they lobotomies and different types of therapies, electroshock therapy and things like that, where it's like, that doesn't help illnesses like that. Like, that makes it worse, if anything. That's, like, frying your brain.
I feel so bad for them. That was horrible.
You know, it was so, like, when I was doing the research, it was awful.
Yeah, I knew it would be a topic for your podcast. I was like, that's like the creepiest haunted place I know around here.
Yes, and it was perfect. it was a perfect story to do, because we haven't had a good haunting story like that so much that, like, you know, especially when it has to deal with like people being like abused and dying because of this abuse and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, it's haunted because all those, like you said, the tortured souls are like probably still there and they can't leave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anytime you hear mental hospital, like, you know, it's probably going to be haunted.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, that's crazy. That was such a good story, though, and I'm, like, super excited that you were able to, like, share your experience, you know, because that's creepy. Oh, I would freak out, too, if I heard a scream. I'd be like, what the hell?
What was that?
Especially
that
because
was so creepy. Yeah, I remember asking my friends, "Did you hear that? Like, what was that?" And they're like, "I don't know. I don't know what that was." But yeah, you know, I don't think they're too into paranormal like I am, because I kept thinking about it, like, "What the? That's so weird."
Yeah, that has to have been.
I knew. Yeah.
Even if some of the people who don't believe in ghosts heard that, that's proof. There was something going on. Even if they don't believe it, they still heard it. So it's like, you may not know that, or you may not believe in ghosts and stuff, but you heard something. It's like, in your face.
Yeah, I think I only had one other super scary encounter by this abandoned, I guess it used to be a hospital in Santa Paula, where I actually heard, like, me and my two other friends heard, like, an actual voice, and that was probably the top creepiest moment next to this one. It was that night, and we were alone.
Did it kind of sound like a disembodied voice kind of thing? Or did it, like, sound like, I don't know, like, I feel like it would be, like, some kind of, like, disembodied voice.
It was very clear. It was a little girl's voice, super clear, and it told us in a whisper, but that you could hear as clear as day, saying, "Don't go in there." Because we were thinking about going in there. And as soon as we heard that, we looked at each other, and I, like, ran through a shrub. I was like, "Whoa."
You're like, "Nope." Signs point to no.
Yeah, that building just radiated, like, negativity. Like, as soon as I was all gung-ho to go in there, and then as soon as we drove up, I was like, "Oh, no, I can't go in there."
Oh, no. If I ever go to, sometimes, like, I've had those experiences where, like, I go to a building or something and I just get, like, that real negative vibe. And I'm like, okay, something bad happened here. And I do not want to go in there because something bad's in there. Something dark is in there. And I don't want to go in there. So, yeah, it's a feeling, and you know it. You absolutely can feel that. And you're just like, nope, not happening.
Oh, yeah. I was like, so, nope, sorry, not going, can't do it, red flags all over the place.
Man, that's crazy, but that's exciting that you were able to have that experience and tell us about it, though. And that your grandma worked at the hospital, that's even cooler. Well, not cool, but, you know, like, that she was a worker there.
Yeah, I think she worked at that one, or she had family who was a patient there that she would visit. I'm not sure which.
So, either way,
she did work in a mental health. Either way, she was there and saw how it was when there were patients there, and she said it was not a good place.
I believe it, and from everything that I've researched, it just sounds like it was a horrible place. And it's a good thing that they shut it down in '97, because yeah, that's crazy.
Oh yeah, all those people. So sad.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on to the show, for doing this interview, because we wouldn't have been able to do it without you and everyone else that is our listeners.
Aww, thank guys. You. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you.
Awesome.
Oh, you're
I'm
so sweet.
Fan.
Yay. We love you too.
Kat, it's your turn.
All right, guys. So
no.
Today we are talking about I like to think it's a popular topic, but I don't know if it's as popular as I think it is. I think I just hear a lot and talk a lot about it. We are talking about skinwalkers.
The fuck?
I've heard about them, but not, I would like to hear how. I never looked into it.
So, skinwalkers, very interesting creatures. They come from the Navajo culture. They are witches, basically. They are, from what I understood, they were kind of like healers that, in the Navajo culture, healers look into both good and evil magic to understand it, but they always practice with good for healing. But some would get lost and become these witches. I read some things that some, like, sold their souls, and others just say they get lost in the dark magic that they are reading into, and they become these witches who can transform, possess, or disguise themselves as animals. And of course, Hollywood has bastardized this a lot, to be like,
as it does.
Yes.
With everything.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I've heard from, or I read from some sources that. How are you so sweetie? Move that way.
No. I'm better.
Okay. I've heard from some stories that they can also, if you look into their eyes long enough, that it will.
It's a trap.
It is a trap. It's a literal trap. Because they can either, I've heard two different things. They can either possess the human that is looking into their eyes, or they will, they can, like, shapeshift. Because they're shapeshifters, basically.
And, like, turn into you?
Yeah.
Nope.
So, I can.
Thanks, I'm not doing a good enough job of
that. I was going to read some Reddit stories, but I decided not to, because I wanted those people to keep their stories for them, and, like, I felt weird about reading it on the podcast. So I've taken tidbits from different stories I've heard. Some of them, I mean, I cannot determine whose was real and who wasn't, if any of them were real. But I did read a little detail that I loved and found very fascinating. And by loved, I mean loved in a horrific way. One of the stories was like the guy was seeing his grandmother or his girlfriend or something along, like someone either related to him or close to him, and he said that it looked exactly like her, but when she spoke, her voice sounded tinny, like she was speaking through a tin can, like it was coming out of like a metal box. And I read that in a lot of stories. So a lot of people who have told these stories have all said the same thing, and that is if they speak, they sound like it's coming from, it's very tinny. Even if they not speak but make sound, because they often show up as animals. Like if they bark like a dog or hoot like an owl, call like a crow. Mm-hmm. It sounds fake. Like it's coming from a child's toy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because they're creepy. Mimicking. Because that's not the natural sound that comes out of them. They're mimicking that sound. So that's a very, like, I read one that I was like, oh my God. No. Oh, there was one. And I actually don't think I read this one. I think I heard this one on a podcast. But it was like this boy. The basics of it was, this boy was trapped in this little house he was staying in off of a main house. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm talking, of course. And he kept hearing like scratching on the walls and on the doors. And he thought it was an animal, coyotes. And often they will show up as trickster animals, such as coyotes or omens like crows. Mm-hmm.
Or like a fox or something, right?
Yeah. Like a fox or coyotes, which are considered like trickster animals, like omens like crows or what have you. But this one showed up as his mother.
Oh, God.
What?
And he said that he stayed up. I'm trying to remember the story because, I didn't want to read them on the podcast, so I'm just taking tidbits from what I've read, but he said that sometimes in the night he would hear like scratching on the door, and then he would hear his mother's voice say like, please let me in, or honey, let me in, or something along those lines. But he was like, it wasn't her voice because it sounded like she was speaking through a tin can.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
So they're basically wanting you to open the door so they can possess you or something.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh God. Nope.
Something along those lines.
It's
yes.
Alluring.
Nope.
Yeah, it's alluring. Yes, yeah. Very much so. It's a luring effect. So this term, skinwalker, is never used on healers. Also, and I'm going to butcher this, I tried to find the correct pronunciation of this, and I still had a hard time. In the Navajo language, they're called Yinaldlushi. Yinaldlushi. Mm-hmm. And that means, by means of it, it goes on all fours. Yeah. So that's fun. Also,
okay, I'm already creeped out. I love it.
I'm scared.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Congratulations, Chloe's not sleeping tonight.
Oh, I have to be up in 6 hours.
I'm so sorry. So apparently, and I didn't know this. I knew.
Listen to a Disney movie.
Yeah, do it. So I knew this came from, first of all, I didn't know that it came from the Navajo culture. I knew that it was Native American when I looked into it, but I didn't know from what tribe. So that was very interesting. Also, I did not know this. The Navajo people are not typically comfortable with talking about the true nature of skinwalkers with non-Navajos.
Right.
They do not like to talk about it. In fact, it's like a very well-kept secret. That's why Hollywood has construed it the way that they have, because not a lot of people know the actual real live lore of of skinwalkers, because it is not information that is often shared with outsiders. They are also the antithesis of Navajo cultural values. So, as I said before, healers look into both good and evil magic to understand it and use good magic to heal people. Mm-hmm. And it goes against everything they believe to even, like, touch the darker side of the magic. And they, like, these things, that's the whole thing, is that they, yeah,
it's basically it's bad. A no-no if mm-hmm. they, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So some of the other, like, stories that I pulled, there was one guy who said that him and his wife or girlfriend were driving along a road at night, and they thought there was a pack of coyotes that were running next to the car, but then they looked over and they were going very fast, and they were keeping up with them and even kind of getting ahead of them. And he looked over. No, they do not.
No.
And he looked over and he said that it wasn't a coyote, in fact, that was following them, but it looked like a I'm trying to remember how he described it. It was like a bald skeletal being on all fours. Yeah.
Nope. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, poor Chloe. There's another one.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
That's the scariest thing we've talked about on this podcast so far.
I told you I was gonna go with a ghost story, I kind of went with a ghost story. It's not really a ghost story, but
it's more lore type.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the shit I like. So,
oh yeah, no.
So I'm actually working on, when I first started learning about skinwalkers, I started writing a story about them, and the more I learn, the more interested I am in them. But it's just very terrifying.
Yeah.
A lot of the encounters that I've read are very they do try to lure you, like they want you to follow them. There is a story, and I don't remember if I heard it or read it. I actually heard this one a long time ago. And this one's fake. I'm convinced it's fake. There's nothing that led me to believe it was real, or anything like that. But it was about this guy who him and his girlfriend had gone up to a cabin in the mountains, and they kept hearing footsteps around the outside of the cabin at night. And they would go outside in the daytime, and there would be like tracks from that looked like someone walking around the cabin. And he claimed that he could hear his grandfather's voice calling him, or grandmother's voice calling him from inside the woods at night.
Big ol' nope.
Yeah, big ol' nope. And then there was another time where he was looking for his girlfriend. Like, he woke up in the middle of the night and she wasn't there. And he went looking for her in the cabin. And he looked out the window and she was sitting on the, like, trunk of their car. And he was putting his boots on to, like, go out there and ask her where, like, what the hell she was doing, because it was snowing outside. And before he could open the door, she took off running into the woods. And he was about to go running, like, running out the door after her when she came out of the bathroom.
Oh, it was trying to lure him into the woods. Hell no. Nope.
Yeah. It's a lot.
I'm
I mean, it could be real. You never know.
No, it could be. It's that's the thing is I don't remember that if that came from Reddit or where that came from, but it would.
This makes me feel like we're like going into the deep part of like creepypasta shit.
Well, they do say that if you, it's kind of like Slenderman. Like if you think about it too often, you invite it into your life. So I'm like, oh, that's fun.
Not the...
Chloe's not sleeping tonight. No. I'm sorry, Chloe. I told you you would Ralph hate it.
Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I love that one.
It's a good one.
That is a good one.
Frozen 2. No, Frozen 2's going to make me cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that one.
Anyway, so that's my very short. I didn't want to go. There's not... I have a feeling a lot of people know about... skinwalkers, they've become popular within the last... Skinwalkers and Wendigos both have become very popular within the pop culture nowadays. Yes. So,
especially in the game Until Dawn.
Well, that's why Wendigos were have become such a big thing is because of Until Dawn.
That's why I was mentioning that. Yeah, because like that game is the shit.
Which is funny because the Wendigos and Until Dawn look like what people have described skinwalkers to
that's
look like.
That's why
yeah.
I was like, when you were describing, I was like, yep, that's exactly what was popping into my mind.
I will Google nothing!
Which is creepy as shit.
It is very creepy, but that's... Skinwalker stories are some of the only stories that, like, really freaking get me, like, when I read them, because I'm like, first of all, I can never tell whether the writer is legitimate or not. Second of all, there's actually quite a bit of evidence out there that they exist, which is just equally as horrifying.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Oh, honey.
They're not common here. They're more common in New Mexico and Arizona.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to stories.
Aliens, take me. I'm volunteering.
Oh, speaking of aliens, have you guys ever heard of Skinwalker Ranch?
No.
If you ever get the chance, look up Skinwalker Ranch.
No.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but it has its name for a reason. Also, a lot of alien shit goes on there, so...
Yeah. I'm not Googling it. I'm not doing
it. Are you sure? Can't... Is that what you're not doing right
now? I'm looking at Biden merch.
She's looking at Biden merch.
Oh, my God.
As I said before, it is now 10:38 p.m. We still don't know the winner of the election yet. Please help us. 911.
Sorry, I needed distraction from literal terror, and so I went like slightly less scary.
Well, we could give them a little taste of what's our next episode going to be about. A little teaser, just kind of giving them a little something.
Someone's doing Mothman. Someone's doing Winchester House, and I'm doing the Soap Lady.
Hold on, let's not tell them what we're doing. Let's tell them the name of the episode.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So next episode,
Friday the 13th. That's what it's labeled.
Yes. Since next week is Friday the 13th, finally, because I love that day. We are gonna have a fun little episode for you guys. It's gonna be filled with lots of spooky stuff.
Spooks.
And and a true crime. Right?
Yes.
No.
Because I'm doing Henry Lee Lucas.
No, you're not.
On Friday the 13th? Hold on. Friday the 13th.
This episode is being published on the 6th, and it is Diamonds Are a Ghost.
So I'm doing, I'm sorry, I'm doing Mothman.
Yeah, you're doing Mothman.
Soap Lady was a true crime, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. No.
No?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Never mind, then. I'll cut that out. The Friday the 13th episode is going to be
strange and some spooks.
Pretty strange weirdness and spooky stuff.
No, she died. Natural causes.
Oh, okay.
That's strange, spooky stuff.
Strange spooks.
It's going to be great, I think. It's going to be a fun episode.
I'm very excited.
I am too.
I'm glad that we're doing three stories in one podcast now, because I think that's going to make our length, like... a little more consistent
and perfect.
And we hope that you guys like it. And it's, I have a feeling, I was worried that people would get bored with one story per episode. So I like that we're shaking it up.
Yeah. And it seems to be the consensus among stuff I've been reading that people have been wanting longer episodes or more. Cause like they finished it. Like I just wanted to keep listening and we didn't have that. And so now it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
If anyone, my brother requested it, and so if nothing else, it's for you, Silas.
Which we want.
We can irritate everyone else. This is just for my little brother.
Well, we want to give you guys more, you know, like more content, more, you know, length, because I understand. Because, like, sometimes when I'm listening to a podcast that I really enjoy, and sometimes it's like 25, 30 minutes, and I'm like, but I wanted more.
Yeah.
Give me more.
Podcast should be an hour long at minimum.
I mean, because, like, I understand some of you guys like to put it on as background while you're doing stuff, and I do the same thing, so it's like, I'd like to...
Podcasts are the only reason my room is ever clean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Don't go in there right now.
It's not as hot of a mess as it was a couple days ago, though. A
couple days ago, I didn't have closet space to unpack.
That was my bad.
No, that's fine. I can...
Progress!
Progress!
Baby steps!
BB steps.
But, yeah. Look forward to next week.
We need to set a recording date for next week.
Mm-hmm. I'm off Monday and Friday.
I requested days off for the first time in...
Anyway, July. Let's close this out.
Yep. I gotta go to bed.
So.
I gotta go to sleep.
Where's our other... Oh.
I'm gonna go sleep right here.
Is it that one?
It's that one, and we also need to do this one.
Oh, yeah. Here, you want me to do that one?
Sure.
Or Chloe, do you want to do this one?
You That's a one, lot so. Of words.
Okay, I'll do it.
Wait, what does yours say?
Mine's the closing. That okay. one's more, yeah.
All right, everyone. So we're headed off to bed. It's really late at night. We usually don't record this late.
I don't want
to
talk about it.
Don't forget to spread the spook by sharing with your friends and family or whoever else you think might enjoy our show. If you have a story you would like us to share or for us to just talk about, you can email us at spookytimetea@gmail.com or message us on our Instagram, which is @spookytimetea, I think.
Yes. Yep. Gonna close this out. So thank you all for tuning in to Spooky Time Tea, where we talk about ghosts, ghouls, murders, mysteries, and everything in between, all the while enjoying a cup of tea, like a tea party but spooky. Have a lovely evening and
sweet dreams.
I'm gonna have sweet nightmares.